But I'm not really sure. I might want to work with animals, so I'm taking a break right now. I have a job. I'm looking for a new one because I'm not getting any hours. I want to go back to college. I want to get a degree, whether it's an associate's or a bachelor's. I just want to get a degree and just live my life to the fullest, because that point in time in my life made me realize that you never know when your last day is. So you have to live your life one day at a time.
You've proved that you're a survivor and that you can conquer anything.
So right.
I wish you all the best.
Right.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
If I could just add one real quick thing, Commissioners and Mayor. In the 80s, we had a gang problem that our mayor back then said we didn't have. And then when young people started dying, they formed a task force. In the 90s, the stolen cars went through the roof. They formed a task force. 8 cops, 4 detectives, and a sergeant. Then graffiti became a problem. Mayor formed a task force, 4 officers and a sergeant to combat graffiti. We have a problem, a serious problem. We have 2 officers and 1 sergeant. I mean, we did it for cars and we did it for buildings. I think we could do it for young girls and children. I just think it's time to step up as police officers and everybody to take this serious and jump on it.
Well, I happen to know Officer Jeff Myers got promoted to detectives, and he was the inspiration for the service coordination team, and I hope somebody's tapping that resource.
He's in sexual assault right now.
And I knew that, and I was wondering if he had something to do with this different approach that's occurring, but I would certainly encourage you guys to rely on his experience in this very kind of approach, same approach you're trying to take, and he's very adept at figuring out how to help identify resources and get the political will to make some of that stuff happen.
All right.
I'll talk to the chief, and we'll get back to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have anybody else? The next 3 are Wynn Walkilla, Jesse Luna, and Chris Kilmer.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, how are you?
Randy's the only person that was still here when I was here at the city of Portland. If you notice Christie's T-shirt, it says slavery still exists. That was created by some of our Oath students down at U of O. So Oath is kind of the Chamber of Commerce for the different awareness organizations. We are the face of the Oregon Human Trafficking Task Force. And if you think of the Oregon Human Trafficking Task Force as a body, Oath is the face, we're the mouth, we get the word out. The arms are service providers, like Chris Kilmer's Catholic Charities and groups that comfort the victims. And then the legs are the law enforcement and the prosecutors that chase down the bad guys and hopefully catch them. We currently have chapters in colleges from Green River Community College to Montana State University down to U of O. We have regional coordinators in different areas like Clark County, Skamania County, Coos County, Linn County, Washington County, others. We're having events throughout the state. We have events coming up in Coos Bay, Lebanon, Albany, Salem, Corvallis, and we also have, I don't know if you know about Kell's Irish Pub, but we've been doing that for about a year and a half now.
Some of us have heard of Kell's.
Yes, Kell's is a good place. We have events there every month. We're also having a human trafficking conference at Portland State University, October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Some of my students there are securing the rooms for that, so hopefully that will be the date. We are, like I said, the awareness branch. We try to get the word out, and we're just gung-ho. And the students are so great. We have students in high schools also. We also have a faith-based coordinator, so we're getting ones going in churches now too. So our job is to get the awareness out. Through awareness, we'll get the law. We'll help you guys get the laws changed. We'll help stop the demand, because the demand is the primary problem. And our oath in the Oregon Human Trafficking Task Force don't cover just sex crimes. We also cover labor trafficking and even organ trafficking. That's a new thing now.
Did you say Oregon?
Oregon.
Organs. Oregon. They are trafficking overseas. They are trafficking organs. They are taking organs out of people and selling them. So I should tell you, too, our board of directors I'm very proud of. One is Chris Kilmer over here to my right. Another is Keith Bickford, who's the director of the Oregon Human Trafficking Task Force, which is under the Department of Justice. Another is Bill Hiller, who the movie Taken was inspired by his personal story. We also have Doug Justice, who you just talked with. And another person is Carol Fenton, who is with Women of Vision. So between us all, we really do a lot of outreach with all sorts of different organizations. And it's been very inspiring for me personally and for all of us, because it's a sad subject. But we hold each other up, and we inspire each other, and we excite each other. And we're all volunteers with oath.
Thank you. Thanks for your work.
Good afternoon. My name is Sergeant Jesse Loon. I'm with the Sheriff's Office. I'm assigned to the Corrections Division. And my role here is to work and monitor the pimps that come into custody. When someone comes to jail, we think that the activity's stopped. We think that the person's put away. There's a lot of information that we assist the prosecution and the investigator with. We look and see into the mail who he's writing to. We find information there that's very beneficial for the case. We monitor the phones. They come in contact with many people. We connect that information to the investigators, which helps them build a better case. And again, we watch and see who they socialize with. You know, when pimps get together with other pimps, a lot of things are discussed. And as the jail is a wealth of information when it's tapped right and the information is brought to the investigator. The other is the victims that come in. We're creating more of a response where when they come in, that there's a little bit of hope, getting them involved with jail programs in there, staying connected, getting the outside resources. Hey, we got someone in custody that is going to be coming out. What can you do? Here's a person in need. How can they be connected? So it's actually working on both sides with the perpetrator and the victims so that there's a good outcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me today. My name is Chris Kilmer, and I'm the program coordinator for Catholic Charities Outreach and Support to Special Immigrants Populations Program. It is the only program in the state of Oregon to provide comprehensive services to immigrant victims of human trafficking. Catholic Charities has been operating this program for about 8 years, so they've been involved in this issue since almost the passage of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act back in 2000. And I'm going to be approaching human trafficking from a bit of a different perspective today, speaking to the voices of the victims of human trafficking that we serve who are immigrant victims of human trafficking. They are adults, they are children, they are men, and they are women, and they are many. You heard Miriam speaking before about how they've identified, I think she said, just over 100 domestic minors in, I think, 2007 to present. Over the past 18 months of our services to immigrant victims of human trafficking, we've served over 30 victims of human trafficking. And I want to speak a little bit to what type of trafficking we're seeing here in Oregon, specifically here in the Portland metropolitan area. This is happening in our restaurants. These are folks who are being brought in. They're working 16, 18-hour days. They're being forced to work against their will. They're never paid. They often suffer brutal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. If they're female, very, very often sexual abuse. They're forced to eat the scraps off of the plates that are coming back from these fancy restaurants. Sometimes they're forced to just eat the garnishes. Oftentimes their religion and their culture is desecrated as they're forced to work in these restaurants. They're physically isolated. They're emotionally isolated. They're culturally isolated. They genuinely feel that they cannot escape their situation. And that's just restaurant labor. We also have contracted laborers who we've worked with who have been forced into ditch digging over extended periods of time where they were also working 16 to 18 hours a day, not being fed, not being taken care of, living in squalor, oftentimes being put up in motels with 10 other individuals who are also victims of human trafficking. And then we have slavery in our own homes. We have slavery that is happening inside private homes here in the Portland metropolitan area. People who have been working up to 20 hours a day, cleaning, taking care of somebody's children, being forced to work against their will. They are also brutally assaulted. They're having cleaning solution sprayed in their face. They are physically and sexually assaulted. All sorts of terrible things happening to this population, and they are completely isolated. All of these folks have their documentation taken away from them. All of them are told that they have no rights in this country, that they should be treated like dogs. And when they come into our office, the first thing that they hear is that you are a victim of a crime, you deserve services. So I just wanted to call that to council's attention and remind them that human trafficking is also larger than just domestic minor sex trafficking.
Chris, could you also tell about the berry picking workers and the story that you told at one of the conferences with how the women who are treating berries are treated?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm not sure about berry pickers specifically, but agriculture is a huge area of human trafficking. We've seen, especially in the tree planting industry, folks who have been brought over, they're forced into all sorts of agricultural work. They're usually working 14 to 16 hours during the day doing the actual agricultural work. And then after the agricultural work takes place, then they're forced into prostitution in the evening hours. So there's a double form of exploitation where you have labor trafficking and sex trafficking occurring simultaneously. It's particularly horrible.
Thank you all very much for your testimony and your work.
Thank you.
That's all who signed up.
Anyone else wish to testify on this matter? This is a presentation, is that right?
A report. Report.
Is there an actual report?
This was the report.
Got it. All right. Carla, would you please call the vote on the report?
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank all of our speakers today. Thank the members of the council. But I want to thank our speakers for all the work you're doing. And I also want to thank the many, many community members who have contacted me about their concern and their desire to help. I'm hard-pressed to think of another issue that's drawn so many diverse organizations, ranging from faith-based communities, students, nonprofits, government, schools, and the City Club. It goes to show how many people care about this so-called victimless crime. Clearly, the whole community is the victim. And I also want to add, as I said at the outset, that while we've been talking a lot about youth victims, these girls do turn into women. While it's clear that we have a lot more work ahead of us, the work in progress that we've heard today is encouraging, and I'm optimistic that we'll continue building on that and make a truly effective community response. So thank you again, everybody. Please to vote aye.
Leonard.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for bringing this, and thank you, everybody, for all the good work you're doing. Aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Saltzman, thank you for taking the lead on this, and Amy Chu in your office for all your diligent work on this. Thank you to Senator Wyden and Loretta Smith, who is with his office, who's here today, for the work at the national level. And thank you to each one of you, whether you're with the government, with nonprofits, however you're helping with this issue. It's disgraceful. It's disgusting. It's very painful to hear about, and of course it's even more painful to be a victim in this horrible abuse that's happening right here in Portland, Oregon, our wonderful, progressive, liberal, free-thinking, supportive city. And yet we have this horror, and we need to deal with it. And we need to deal with it sooner rather than later. And I know that the whole council is committed to that. We will make it a priority of the legislature to make sure that our laws are better and that we make sure that the victims are treated like victims and given services, and that those who engage in either buying people or selling people are punished. And that has to happen. This is 2010. So what I need to, I'm asking everybody who's watching on cable, everybody who reads about this in the paper tomorrow, everybody who's, once you know about this, you have to do something about it. You cannot go on your merry way and go home and have a nice dinner and just think about your pleasant life. I call upon everybody who knows about this to do something this month. This is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. So if you can't remember the hotline numbers, call 823-4000, and the staff and information referral will get you to a hotline where you can get help, where you can give help, where you can become a mentor, where you can give money, where you can write a letter to your Senate, your state representative and senator, or, and to Senator Wyden to encourage him to do that. Do something. and preferably do something that is really meaningful and more than just clicking on a website to add your name to a list. Write a personal letter about why this matters to you. Give some a significant amount of money to help victims. Do something in the month of July, and we're already two-thirds of the way through, so time is running out. And for the victims of these crimes, time is running out. And we heard about somebody who was nearly killed, and we know of others who have been killed. This is not a victimless crime, and we need to do something about it. Aye.
Adams.
Well, that hotline number is 1-800-731-3100. So that's 1-800-731-3100. And I want to thank everyone who's worked with passion and purpose and creativity to weave together the bureaucracy to create a better safety net. And now, hopefully, with that under our belt and the federal grant, we can now become much more proactive. And I know you're all committed to doing that. And as police commissioner, you can count on my full support. Aye. We are adjourned.